Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Stephanie.
I'm Tom.
It's our TOEIC unit, guys.
Mm-hmm.
We're learning good English so we can get really good high grades on our tests. Is that what we're doing?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I should be honest. I've never actually taken this exam before.
I have.
Oh, you have?
I've recorded it, too, a lot of them. Have you? Yes.
Well, see, I don't have to, you know. But,
you've recorded a lot of TOEIC with me, Tom, so you kind of know what they're like. Come on.
Indeed, I probably have a good idea. But, you know, the listening part is not the only part. There's also reading comprehension and stuff like that. I'm just curious, if I were to take that test myself, would I get a really good grade on that exam?
Well, if you didn't get 100%, I would fire you.
Yeah, I would be under pressure to have a perfect score on that exam.
You'd get
one.
That's
probably why I don't take it. It's also a reason why I've never taken an IQ test before, because I'm afraid it would be a really low score and I would hate myself afterwards.
Do you get nervous taking tests?
Well, you see, I haven't really taken important exams in many years.
I took a Chinese test here.
Oh, that's true. I did take a Chinese proficiency test a couple of years ago. It was the intermediate level. And then I thought, okay, now I'm going to study for the advanced level. But I got too busy with work, and it's already been about 10 years now. So, gee, I should. It's probably, I don't think the advanced test would be that difficult.
I have to say, though, for me, as a test taker, I think the listening portion is the hardest, because you get nervous and suddenly it's like your ears just shut off. They close down and you don't understand anything. So we understand, guys, taking tests, it can be difficult. Just relax, though, and just, you know, depend and rely on all the studying that you've done, because I know you guys study hard. We're going to get started, guys, by reading through this particular lesson, and then we'll be back to talk about more of these words that you might encounter on a TOEIC test.
Since the first 3D printed object was made in 1983, the abilities of 3D printers have grown significantly. As the technology has advanced, medical professionals have begun to see the potential of what 3D printing can do for their patients and practices. Inspired by these possibilities, a number of doctors around the world are now using 3D printing in revolutionary ways. For people whose bodies are damaged by injury or disease, 3D printers can make custom prosthetic pieces. The patient's body is scanned and modeled in the computer, and then the required new body part can be created to fit them perfectly. This eliminates a lot of the pain that generic prosthetics currently cause patients. Since 3D printers can use nearly any material to print objects, some medical companies have started using human cells to print small organs called organoids. These can be placed inside patients' bodies so that if their own organs fail, the organoids can take over. Human cells are also being used to print new skin, which looks and feels better than the traditional skin replacements burn victims receive. Some patients have to take many pills at once, which can be troublesome. Now, a 3D-printed poly pill has been developed that can hold up to 5 medications inside it. These capsules can be released at different times as needed. As more doctors begin to use 3D printers, it seems this progressive technology is set to bring a whole new look to medical care.
Okay, guys, it's day two, and it's time for us to talk a little bit more in detail about how 3D printing is going to change or is changing healthcare. I think that's the most exciting part of a 3D printer is that it's actually being used today in medicine, which kind of sounds crazy, doesn't it?
Yep.
I mean, when I think of a printer, I think, you know, of paper and ink. And that's about it. And when you think of healthcare, you think of living bodies, living organs, things that are alive. So it's kind of weird that we're putting this very technical piece of equipment into healthcare, and it's actually producing things that are going to help people experience a better quality of life, we can say.
Hopefully that will be the case. We're going to talk about how 3D printing is changing healthcare. And here in the first paragraph, it says, since the first 3D printed object was made in 1983, you know, starting from that time, the abilities of 3D printers have grown significantly. So you may not know this. You may be surprised to find out that the first object that was printed with a 3D printer was printed way back in 1983. That's several decades
ago. Wow, really?
But since that time, of course, things have progressed. The abilities or the capabilities of 3D printing have grown significantly. So here, significantly is an adverb. It just describes that something has really grown greatly. Significant means something that is worthy of our attention because it is really, really great. You could say that, hey, the scientific discovery was significant. It was important. It's something we should all know about. But here, since we're modifying the verb to grow, we need to use the adverb form. So it has grown significantly.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting to look back and see some of the inventions that we've had over time. You were making me think about a movie, Tom, called, I think it's Hidden Numbers, about the first space adventure where someone was circling the Earth. And I remember watching the movie thinking, wow, everything is so much harder without computers. It's crazy. They did all the math by hand. They had no machines to help them. Later on, you know, they started coming up with some of the first big computers, and they were big back then. But now that we have computer technology, everything is moving faster. All of the inventions are happening a lot more quickly because we've got these big fake brains to do all the work, and it's not just using human brains necessarily. So as the technology has advanced, it's, you know, moved forward, medical professionals have begun to see the potential of what 3D printing can do for their patients and practices. When a doctor is practicing medicine, that's the verb we use. Did you hear me say he's practicing medicine? It's not because he's not very good at it yet and he's practicing to get better. No. There are certain careers, certain fields where we use that word practice. My dad's a lawyer, so he practices law, and a doctor will practice medicine. It depends on the field, so you need to make sure you're using the right verb for whatever industry you're talking about. An engineer doesn't practice engineering, though.
Yeah.
No, no, no. So it's mainly medicine and law that we use that word practice. So if you're a professional, you've had advanced training, you're somebody that is probably been working on this particular skill and the skill set, for a long time, and we can call you a professional. If you work at, say, a supermarket or a convenience store, we wouldn't refer to you as a professional.
No.
Usually those professionals have done significant training, especially at university.
Exactly. So these are medical professionals, you know, doctors, nurses, physician assistants, et cetera, et cetera. And they've been reading their medical journals, and there have been articles published in various places so they can see the potential of 3D printing in medicine. So potential here just means the possibility of some kind of future success. Hey, there's some potential here with this technology.
Mm-hmm.
It could be used to help us. Or you might recognize potential in a person. Boy, you've got a lot of potential. You've got possibilities. You might be quite successful in the future. So they're seeing the potential or the possibilities of what 3D printing can do for patients and for these medical practices. Now, inspired by these possibilities, a number of doctors around the world are now using 3D printing in revolutionary ways, okay? So, yes, indeed, as I said, they've probably been doing some reading, and they see the possibilities there. They see the potential. So these doctors around the world, lots of doctors, are using 3D printing in new and exciting ways. So here we've got the word revolutionary. That's an adjective. It just describes something that is new and it hasn't been done before, and it actually is making big changes because it is so new and so wonderful.
Revolutionary. Yeah. So if someone's a revolutionary, there's someone who really comes along and makes a lot of big sweeping changes to things. So a person can be called a revolutionary, but you can also call inventions or changes in the world revolutionary because they're really changing the way things are done. So for people whose bodies have been damaged by injury or disease, 3D printers can make custom prosthetic pieces. Prosthetics, we actually use that as a noun to talk about a fake limb that is sometimes made for someone who's lost an arm or a leg or maybe a hand, a prosthetic limb. Those aren't easy to say, prosthetic. Prosthetics can also just be used without another word behind it. But if it's custom, it's made specifically to fit a particular person. But what happens is, if someone doesn't have a lot of money, they're usually not getting custom prosthetics. They're getting general ones or ones that are just built for a lot of people. And they have to just make do or get along with that. So what happens is a patient's body is scanned and modeled in the computer. Remember, that's how Claire's nose was, the process, her nose went through. It was modeled first in software. And then the required new body part can be created to fit that patient perfectly, which is really great news for a lot of folks out there. This eliminates a lot of the pain that generic prosthetics currently cause patients. Think about prosthetic legs, right? They kind of attach to the stump or the part of the leg that is still remaining on the body. And if it doesn't fit right, it's pressing into that plastic or that steel, and it's uncomfortable and it's painful. That's why having a custom-built prosthetic is a lot better for patients. If you eliminate something, you get rid of it. It's gone. I wish I could eliminate all the cockroaches in the world because I hate them, Tom.
Well, I'm sorry to tell you this, but cockroaches probably play a role in the ecosystem.
Really?
Even though we hate them, they still got to be there. I guess they're food for certain other animals.
I don't know. They're gross.
I'm not really that much of an expert on, the ecology or
why cockroaches have any value.
Yeah. I hate them too, but I still think they probably play a role somewhere. But in any case here, yes, if you can custom make a body part using the computer, and with 3D printing, then the person probably should not feel so much pain anymore.
Yeah.
And they'll be okay. It gets rid of all that pain. And generic here just means traditional or customary manufacturing of prosthetics, a fake arm, a fake leg, etc. Now, moving on to the next paragraph here, it says, since 3D printers can use nearly any material to print objects, some medical companies have started using human cells to print small organs called organoids. Now, from the printers I saw at the Guanghua market there, it looks like everything is made out of plastic, okay? But I guess you can use other materials besides plastic to print objects.
You can.
Yes, you can. So because the printers can use nearly any material, you could use, I guess you could aluminum or organic compounds or plastic or maybe even wood, who knows. So some medical companies are actually using human cells.
Wow.
And they use those human cells to print out small organs. They're not standard size organs like your liver or your kidney or your heart or your pancreas. Those are some organs there. These are small organs. Maybe you could call them mini organs, but the technical term is organoid. They are called organoids. Noid is kind of like a small version of something. A humanoid is like a human that's, or a person or creature that's like a human.
Like a robot, yeah.
You hear that in like science fiction.
The humanoid.
Like in Star Trek or something.
Yeah.
Humanoids. But here, these are organoids. They're kind of like organs. They serve as organs, but they're not real.
Yeah, it's actually, if you look it up, it's a miniaturized and simplified version of an organ that is produced in vitro, which means it's grown in kind of a laboratory. It's grown in a dish with other cells. So kind of cool. Take a look at that. You can look that word up, organoid. These can be placed inside patients' bodies. So if their own organs fail, and we often use that verb, oh, his heart failed, or his kidney failed, my sister's kidney failed, which means it stopped working and they had to give her another kidney there. So,
a kidney transplant.
Yeah, so if it fails, these organoids that have been placed in their bodies already can take over and start working, and they're doing the work of the original organ, which is awesome. Human cells are also being used to print new skin. This is amazing. And this new skin looks and feels better than the traditional skin replacements burn victims receive. If you are burned badly and you have to have a skin transplant, a skin replacement, they take skin from either another body, maybe a cadaver, which is a dead body. They can sometimes use that skin, or maybe they can use skin on that burn victim's body from a place you can't see as well. But it doesn't look great. And burn victims suffer so much. So a replacement is something that takes the place of something else. So it's just the action of replacing something or the process of replacing. If you're a replacement teacher, you're a substitute in school. But this, the traditional skin is being replaced by this new skin that the 3D printers are printing. And it's helping burn victims a heck of a lot. If you're a victim of something, you've had some sort of tragedy or violence occur to you. You've been harmed or injured, maybe even killed as a result of something that happened, like a crime or an accident. Or maybe you were a victim of an earthquake. So this is great news for burn victims.
Yeah, maybe I'm thinking of those victims of the water park explosion that took place out in Bali, you know, a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
It's already been at least 3 years
yeah.
now. Maybe this technology could give them some skin replacements.
Hopefully.
And make them feel better. But, of course, that happened already 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, but they do skin replacement surgery for years after
burns. And Taiwan's medical professionals have gotten better and better. Maybe they already have printed out some new skin for them. And moving on now to the final paragraph, it says, some patients have to take many pills at once, which can be troublesome. Like my grandmother, when she was alive, she used to take all sorts of pills. She showed me this dish where she had at least 8 different kinds
wow.
of pills there that she had to take for various illnesses. So, yes, a lot of people have to take a lot of pills at one time, and that can be troublesome. It can be a hassle. It can be something that's difficult to do. That's what troublesome means. And, yes, if you're over 80 years old, it can be quite confusing to try to figure out, gee, when am I supposed to take that pill? Am I supposed to take it in the morning or the afternoon or before a meal or afterwards?
Yeah.
Well, now a 3D-printed poly pill has been developed that can hold up to 5 medications inside it. So poly here means many. So poly pill is a pill or some kind of medication that has a lot of medications in one place.
Kind of cool, a poly pill. Yeah, that is helpful, especially for a lot of people that can't swallow very easily. These capsules can be released at different times as needed. Ooh, that's kind of cool, too. It can tell the pill when to open and release the medicine. A capsule is just kind of a shape. It's a small case or container that we put medicine into. A capsule. Oh, we also use that word to talk about the spaceships that you see. Sometimes I'll talk about the capsule portion.
The space capsule?
Yeah. So it's a shape, too. So this is really helpful as more doctors begin to use 3D printers. It seems this progressive technology, progressive means looking forward, progressive technology is set to bring a whole new look to medical care. We wish them all the best of luck. Right now, we're going to listen to our Chinese teacher, and then we'll be back to look at these discussion questions.
Hi everyone, my name is Jenny. 今天我们要继续来看第四单元。好，我们之前呢，这个对话内容谈的是 3D printing， 也就是 3D 列印。那我们今天来看的这个文章呢，就是谈这个 3D 列印它怎么样的改变医疗，而且这是一种全新的技术哦。好，我们来先看看，首先他就提到了，自从呢第一台的 3D printed object，这个其实是指 3D 列印出来的物体。自从第一个 3D 列印出来的物体在1983年问世之后，其实说起来 3D 列印这个功能呢已经进步非常多了。好，我们再来提一下，我们一直说 3D printing 就是 3D 列印。当然我们知道这个地方提的是 3D 列印的物体，所以说呢你修饰这个物体是被印出来的。那我们要注意到这个 printed 为什么会加 ED， 当然这是过去分词的用法，修饰这个物件它是被印出来的。好，那我们继续往下看，下面就说当然科技呢一直在进步，而医学方面他们也发现用 3D 列印真的可以帮助病人，好，在医疗上其实很有潜力的。而我们也知道说就是因为受到这么多的可能性的启发，所以有一些医师他其实呢现在就正在用这种 3D 列印的技术，而且呢可以说是有非常创新革命性的使用。我们来看这个句构里面，因为句子本身有点长，我们就从inspired 这个字来谈。 inspired 我们也看到这又是一个过去分词，好，从 by 当然你可以看到出来有一个 by 在后面，这个当然是被动，所以是什么人被启发呢？当然是后面这个主词 a number of doctors， 有一些医生他们被启发了，想到说这么有潜力的一样技术，所以他们就在想我们可以怎么来运用 3D 的列印技术在医学上面，在医疗上面。那接下来我们就来看看有哪些方向，这是目前其实已经在进行的一种创新的技术的改革。好，他说啊，比如说像有一些人他可能因为身体受伤疾病受损，然后呢我们用那个 3D 列印表机竟然可以做出什么，做出义肢来。好，这里这个字 prosthetic， 当然这个字对大家来说可能是比较少见的字，但是这边说到 make custom prosthetic pieces， 这个 prosthetic pieces 就是指义肢，这个身体不同部分用的义肢，可是加了一个 custom 在前面。我们可能会想 custom， 这个字不是习惯吗？没错的，但是不要忘记 custom 它也有形容词的用法，像在这个地方其实它当形容词来用，意思就是客制化的，也就是依照不同的使用情况，不同的情形来客制化。那这个地方说到的义肢怎么客制化，因为没有错，每个人需要它的形状它的功能不同，竟然可以用 3D 列印技术来完美的结合，完美的解决你的问题。好，这边我们看到下面就说了怎么做呢，当然它需要一步一步来，用电脑然后呢先把这个患者的身体扫描过，它呢扫描过之后就会被模拟，然后呢接着这个他们身体被需要的这个部分就会被列印出来，而且列印出来的东西是很完美的贴合患者的身体。好，我们来看这一部分的这个句构里面啊有一个字就是 required， 为什么说这个 new body part 是 required 呢？一样的我们要思考一下， required 是过去分词，当然过去分词的意思其实就是说是被需要的，没有错，这个 body part 是被需要的，患者他需要什么样的 body part， 所以你就会用 3D 列印出来，因此这里的确是被动的语气。好，那再来说起来，这样子的 3D 做出来的义肢会比原来一般义肢更好。那下面就要说了，除了说这方面做义肢来看，另外呢他还提到 3D 列印可以用来，既然可以用任何原料来列印任何的物品，那么马上就有人想到其实你也可以用人类的细胞来列印啊，所以他就列印出来一种叫类器官的这样的小器官来放到患者的身体，然后呢如果你的身体某一个器官没有功能的，他就可以怎么样，就可以 take over。 好，这个片语 take over 就是接管，换句话说取代了你原来已经受伤不能使用没有功能的器官。好咯，那我们再来继续往下看，下面他就提到了这样子的技术是第二个。第三个方面呢 在下一段就说到还有一个功能也是 3D 猎鹰可以运用的，那就是我们吞进去的药丸。那我们知道有些病人他一次可能要吞好几颗药。好，那我们来看这句，这个 some patients have to take many pills at once。 好，但是看到了吗，后面的 which can be troublesome。我们要谈一件事情，然后这一件事情逗点用后面用 which 来取代，它指这样子的情形是蛮麻烦的。好，整个取代这个必须要用非限定用法，用逗点隔开，用 which 来取代，这个地方要请同学们特别的注意。好，我们今天的讲解就到这边结束，我们下次见。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
It's time now for a couple of discussion questions. Here's the first one. What are some other tools that people have developed to make medical care better? Have you seen any of these tools in use yourself?
Well, one that comes to mind is something that I've seen for people who have sugar diabetes, which means they have, they can't control, you know, the sugar in their system. When I was younger, I remember I had a friend who used to have to, you know, use a needle and just punch her finger and check her blood. But now they have these cool machines that kind of, it just makes a quick, you know, hole in your skin and it checks it right there very conveniently with little strips that come with the little machine. And I think those are great for people who can literally die if they don't have enough sugar, if they have too much sugar in their system. My dad has diabetes too, so it's not that, you know, dangerous and serious. But the diabetes one, they can literally, I had a coworker pass away one morning with that. Yeah, he was 34. Didn't come to work one morning. Yeah, some of these new tools that you can take outside with you, there are also blood pressure monitors. I have one of those at home. Those are great. A lot of these things are very helpful now.
Yes, I can think of some of the more traditional ones that were developed years ago, like a hearing aid, which, of course, helps you hear better. And then there's the pacemaker. If you've got some trouble with your heart or something, I guess this is a device that's surgically implanted inside your chest.
I have a friend with one of those, too.
Okay,
yeah.
And that helps regulate the beating of your heart. So, of course, those are developed a long time ago. I suppose it's possible to develop new devices from 3D printing that might improve on those old ideas. Who knows? Now, here's another question. What are other ways that 3D printed objects might improve people's lives?
Well, we were talking just briefly about how they're being used to come up with new types of food, which is kind of weird, but they are actually using it to produce food. And I guess in areas where maybe the weather is bad or the soil is not very good, maybe they could help. I don't know. Right now, I think they're too slow to do much for a big, massive group of people. But, yeah, who knows?
It'd be nice if they could, you know, develop food that could be printed out at home, especially for elderly people who can't really move around on their own and they can't go to the market and buy vegetables or they can't cook for themselves. If they could just have this stuff at home and have it printed out and cooked for them automatically, maybe their lives would be much easier that way. It's hard to say, but that's one example of something that may improve someone's life.
We sure have to get the price of the printer to come down.
Yeah, it's really expensive now.
Really expensive. Yeah, when I heard how much they were, I was like, yeah, I'm never going to buy one of those, but it will be fun to keep an eye out for what new developments you see in the news. So that's one reason why you should be reading the news, to see what's happening out there in the world. Right now, we got to say goodbye. It's time for us to go. So we're really glad you joined us, and we hope you'll join us for our next program. For English Digest, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tom. Goodbye.
Bye.